Well, good morning, Chelvest and Caldergod and Chelston Rise. It's Monday the 11th of May, and today is the 65th birthday of one of our village characters. Now, all villages have their personalities, but I think you'll agree that we have more than our fair share. We've had H, we've had Cuffy the Duck Wrangler, Chris Blom the Tulip Man, and Glenn our Action Man Hero. So today it's happy 65th birthday to Andy Horn. He lives in St George's Row with his brothers Bruce and Alan. Now, if you're a pub regular, you'll know Andy. If you're a Chelveston or Caldergot resident, you'll know Andy, as he walks up the hill for his daily constitutional most days. And he's dressed most of the year in a baseball cap and a thick jacket. Before the lockdown, Andy and John Britton, also from St George's Row, would walk together every other day. But since the lockdown, Andy, unfortunately, takes his daily walk alone. He always rests at Melvin's bench in Caldecott, and I've got a lovely picture from Melvin of Andy and John on the bench, which I'll put into the newsletter. Now, we usually make a fuss of Andy on his birthday down the pub. If it coincides with a Saturday, then it's always a great knees-up. And this year would have been extra special, with a big party and with karaoke, and for once we might have let him sing. But more of that later. Now, Andy's life used to revolve around pub life. He'd be there propping up the bar in the same spot several nights a week, except on a Thursday when he'd be sitting playing cards. Now, other than popping to the doctors in Kimbolton, a bit of shopping in Raunds and the occasional trip to Bedford, Andy doesn't leave the village much. So the loss of the pub has hit him hard, and I decided today that we'd cheer him up a bit. So today, Andy Horn, this is your life. So sit back, folks. It's a little bit longer than usual, but why miss stuff out? Now, the funny thing is, after yet another near miss in hospital, Andy books me to do his eulogy at his funeral. He'd heard me speak at several village funerals and decided I could probably tell his story. But now he gets to hear it while he's still alive. Hopefully, Andy, that's a bonus. So Andy Horn was born in Hargrave, the sixth child of nine. Five boys and four girls. Their father was an agricultural worker, so it must have been quite tough feeding and clothing nine children. In 1968, the family moved to a farm near Melchbourne, and then eventually to Risley. Andy started his schooling in Raunds, or Rans as H would call it, but he finished it in Risley. His first job was at a bakery in Upper Dean in August 1970. Now, Andy's teenage years and his 20s, frankly, were spent in the pubs of Swineshead and Upper Dean, where he was most definitely a regular. He used to get to the pubs on his motor scooter, but then always had the challenge of how to get home after a few pints. Now, drink driving laws weren't quite as strict in those days, but Andy was always careful coming home, stopping when any car came near. However, one day it did go wrong, and Andy ended up in a ditch with a motorbike on top of him. It was only when a local bobby stopped to relieve himself that he noticed the flashing light at the back of Andy's bike in a ditch. Andy survived with several broken ribs and a painful ear from the telling off he got from the copper. Now, Andy was the captain of the Skittles team at the Compasses in Upper Dean the year they won the local league. The landlord mixed up a cocktail to celebrate and he called it the Golden Daisy. Now, none of the other team members liked the look of it, so Andy had to drink the lot. It was a matter of honour, you know. As you can imagine, he was rather worse for wear that night, and records don't show whether he actually made it home or not. In 1975, Andy left the bakery and he joined Bedford Council as a bin man, a job he actually quite enjoyed for 15 years. He loved being outdoors. Now, during this time, Andy continued to enjoy the odd pint, or two, or three. And I think he'd be the first to admit that his waistline grew just a little. It got to the stage where he was struggling to keep up with the bin wagon. So in 1990, the council moved him to the Voids team, clearing council houses that had been vacated. This was actually a fascinating job, but sometimes quite sobering. I was in Andy's quiz team at the pub for many years, and the tales he would tell would make your hair stand on end. But there was an upside to the job. Every so often, the team would find valuables in the clearance, and there was a strict code of ethics as to how the spoils of clearance would be divided, according to the seniority in the clearance team. I can't imagine how the council would have reacted if they'd known. But the job wasn't without risks. In 1996, when I first got to know Andy, he scratched himself at work, and the result was a very serious infection. And that was the first time I saw Andy unable to drink in the pub because of antibiotics. To watch a seasoned drinker looking at a pint of orange squash is just pitiful. And I wondered why he even bothered going to the pub. But he pointed out to me that it was for the friendship and the camaraderie. The beer was just the bonus. The Star and Garter is quite literally at the heart of Andy's life. In 2002, some daft supervisor asked Andy to climb a ladder to clear stuff at a great height. Now, those of you that know Andy cannot imagine him climbing a ladder in any way, shape or form. And the worst did happen. He came crashing down and he was very seriously injured. In fact, we didn't think he'd recover at all, but fortunately he did. However, his injuries meant that he wasn't well enough to go back to his old role. And eventually Bedford Council admitted that they were at fault and they settled with him, awarding him a small lump sum. And this has kept him going since, and he's been carefully eking out his money, just waiting for the day that his old age pension would come in. Well, Andy, today that day has happened. Welcome to being a pensioner. In 2010, Andy was diagnosed as a diabetic, and again he had to cut his beer intake. Andrea was mortified. There was a dramatic drop in pub takings. Again, out came the orange squash, and he reduced the number of nights he went up there. However, after several pints of orange squash, he would often reward himself with a couple of glasses of port to finish the evening. All I can say is, don't try this at home, folks. Andy's faced much adversity, but he can always be relied upon to be cheery and to laugh at his troubles. In 2011, he was delivering a Christmas card to Tony and Christine Brooks, which involves a climb up their steep steps in Dutchy Close. And Andy suffered a heart attack then, and he was rushed to Papworth Hospital. They kept him waiting a couple of hours before operating to fit a stent. The surgeon apologised and said that they'd been practising on the Duke of Edinburgh before attending to Andy. Prince Philip had been flown into Papworth from Sandringham, arriving just a few minutes before Andy, so he got preference. Can you imagine the story if Andy had arrived first and kept the Duke of Edinburgh waiting? Well, Andy stayed in hospital overnight, but he was just literally buzzing and he left hospital the next day. And believe it or not, he was in the pub that night telling us the tale of his latest narrow escape. But again, he was back on the dreaded orange squash. Now, Andy always likes to do his bit for charity. And when Robin and Joan ran the pub, they would do the annual Easter egg run to the local children's home. All the pub bikers would ride in convoy. Hugely impressive bikes, the lot of them. But at the front of the parade would be Robin on his big, beasty Honda Goldwing. And next to him would be Andy on his BMW motor scooter, complete with its all-weather cab and its windscreen. Andy loved that bike. The only other person who had one, that I know of anyway, was Ralph Schumacher, so Andy was in good company. Now, Andy's latest disaster was in 2019. He was pootling along on his new motor scooter in Raunds. Ralph's BMW had finally bitten the dust. And a car pulled out of Titty Ho Garage straight into Andy, smashing him to the ground. He suffered several broken ribs, and there was a fear that his lungs had been punctured. He was sent immediately to Kettering General. But then he was transferred overnight to the Coventry and Warwick Hospital because his condition was so serious. Now, we all thought this was certainly curtains this time. Weeks went by, but eventually he came back to the village. But sadly, we didn't see Andy out and about. He was just in too much pain. However, the day finally came when Andy emerged again, and he managed to extend his walk each day, finally to reach Melvin's Bench once more. So all was right with the world in Chelsea-cum-Corkwood. But what about the karaoke? Well, Andy is a quiet chap normally, until he has a few beers inside him. And at the end of a karaoke night, Andy eventually gets up to sing. Unfortunately, he seems to pick the song where he can strip off to. Now, Andy is no Chippendale, ladies, I can assure you. But he's not afraid of getting his kit off. In fact, Andrea eventually decided that enough was enough and that he couldn't sing karaoke again. He could just listen. I've even got the photographs to prove it, and they'll be in the newsletter too. So, Andy, if we'd been in the pub tonight for your 65th birthday, I'm sure Naomi would have allowed you to have the floor. It isn't every day that a man draws his pension and wants to celebrate by sharing everything he has with his friends, quite literally. Have a happy birthday, Andy, and we'll see you for a proper knees-up on the other side. Cheers, mate, and thank you.